Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
KXIT, and a good afternoon. Great to have you with us on this Thursday afternoon. Very happy to have you join me right now on the KXNT live line, Kerry Kasem. How you doing, Kerry?
Hey, Alan. I'm good. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks so much for joining me. I certainly do appreciate it.
Of course.
No, it's good having you here. Wish you were in studio with me, actually. But
and I'm back in our old studio.
a long time ago. Hey, listen, yep. I wanted to talk to you about what was going on with this show on Saturday night. You and I talked about this, and I've already led up to it. 48 Hours ran this story about the final days and death of your dad, well-known icon Casey Kasem. And I can imagine watching that yourself. It must have been very, very, very hard for you to watch this whole thing.
You know, what I kept thinking the whole time I was watching is people are going to see right through this. People are going to see right through this. And afterward, the support that I got, the emails that our family got, the social media message, I'd have to say 98% of them saw right through it. And so there was one point where I'm like, there's no way anybody's going to believe what's coming out of her mouth. She's changed her story in the 5 years that it happened several times. When one story doesn't stick, she goes to something else. If that doesn't stick, she makes up something else. And so if people have been following the story, they'll see that. And even if you haven't, you'll see, it's insanity that we're dealing with. And, you know, when our trial starts in May 13th, nobody will ever question why we fought so hard for our dad. Nobody.
You know, you sat next to me for nearly a year as a co-host and back in 06, 07. And yes. I just found the pictures right here, October 06. And we're going to post that on our KXNT page. But you told me, I mean, almost every day you'd come in with stories telling me what was going on. So it's not like, you know, all of a sudden I'm like shocked for what I saw the other day when I watched the 48 Hours. But let me get right to the crux of it, because in that story, his second wife, Jean, literally accuses you and your two siblings of killing your father. She says that she says they killed him. And I'm going, geez, Louis. I mean, it's not even, she didn't even mince words. You and Julie and Michael killed your dad. And I thought that one of the coldest things in the world, because her actions, I think, precipitated his death more than anything.
Yeah. And once again, you know, every time that she throws this back on us, any journalist who cares to look at the medical records, the court documents, will see that. And, you know, anybody who wants them, we've given them to. And you can see that when he was taken out of his hospital at 2:30 in the morning and then taken across the country from, Los Angeles to Las Vegas. Remember, I called you and I said, I need help here. I think my dad's in Vegas. And I called you and I was like, we have to find him. He's sick and she's hiding him from us.
And I immediately called our DA, Steve Wolfson.
Yeah.
And he said, I'll get right on it. And but a couple of hours later, you call back and said, forget about it, because she's whisked him away from Las Vegas and she's taking him elsewhere now.
Yeah, and then she tried to get him on Indian reservation. We have all of that proof, and she still keeps denying it. So, we have so many facts, witnesses, people that have watched in the last year of his life, watched what Jean did, including moving her boyfriend into my dad's home, and he was driving her car. You know, she had had a boyfriend for a few years as my dad was getting sicker and sicker, and then in his, last year of life, that should never have been his last year of life, he's living in the house with her. And, you know, there's so many facts that 48 Hours, it's an hour show, so you couldn't get it all in there, but I felt it was very shallow. I felt like hey, you're going to let her say all this stuff, but here are the facts refuting it. They did do a good job when they said the doctor wrote a letter stating that it was you that was going to harm him and kill him. And we have that letter from Dr. Paul Leitner. And that's what why I won guardianship / conservatorship over my father, is because the doctor said Gene's actions were going to lead to his demise. So that's
Written about him. Where was your dad at that point?
He was at Berkeley East Convalescent Center, another place she threw him away in. Good care, though. I have to say, he got very good care there. But my dad, you know, having the millions of dollars that he did, deserved to be at home. He didn't want to be in these different facilities month after month, week after week. He wanted to be at home.
Where is that located? In Berkeley or
in Santa Monica?
In Santa Monica. Because I mean, my timeline and everything is correct, he was in Santa Monica and also not doing somewhat great because there were bed sores that were so severe that, I mean, that could wind up causing huge problems and kill somebody, as I've been told by doctors. So, I mean, she had him in there, and I understand.
Well,
and
no,
again, correct
had,
me if I'm wrong, but
yeah,
I understand.
Berkeley East, he had no infection. He had no bed sores.
He did not.
He was there for 3 months, and she never visited. In fact, nobody, when she came to pick up her beloved husband, nobody knew who she was. She had to show ID. The doctor himself, he has never dealt with something like this, where the wife has never called to check up on her husband.
And plus, as I understand it, according to the 48 hours that ran, she put him in a van to whisk him away to Las Vegas, and she didn't even go in the van with him.
No, she didn't go in the car with him. He was sitting straight up, which led to the pressure ulcers and the third-degree bed sore on his back, led to a bladder infection, lung infection, which eventually made him septic. And what's so upsetting, too, is they unplugged him. Nobody unplugged my dad. Nobody unplugged my dad. I'm so sick of hearing that. We were given two choices in the hospital room. After we tried to save him for over a week, turning him, trying to give him, you know, as many antibiotics as we could to get rid of the infection, he started to die. And that was where I couldn't even handle it, because I fought for so long, fought so hard to see my dad again. And here he is, we have him back, and he's dying because he's septic now. And when the doctors came in, there were three of them, including an ethicist of St. Anthony's Hospital in Gig Harbor, and said, it's futile. This is what's going to happen. Your dad is going to die, and he's either going to drown to death if you leave him on hydration. They had to explain that dying bodies are not hungry or thirsty. When you give a dying dog water or you give a dying dog food, they're not going to eat it. They're actively dying. That's with any animal and any human being. So I did not want to take him off of hydration, and he started to choke to death on his own secretions, and it was the worst, most horrible thing I'd ever witnessed. And they said, he's going to drown to death, or you're going to let him go peacefully. And those were our two choices. So the fact that she keeps saying we unplugged him, this is insane, and this is going to come out in the trial as well. She had every right to be there. She's also saying she wasn't allowed in to see her husband. This is another thing 48 Hours did right. They held up the piece of paper to her face and said, here's a court order allowing you to be with your husband. And she goes, that's not true. Everything is just, that's not true, but nobody calls her on it.
She denied. She even denied that when the doctor said that she was her responsibility. She said that was not true as well. Stay with me. I want to talk about two other big things also, very important, because she says that all you and your siblings want is money. And I remember you and I remember talking about this in studio with you. And so we'll talk about that in a minute. And then when it comes right down to it, when you have a final resting place for someone, where do you have them go that you can visit them on a regular basis? I want to talk about that. Stay with me. Carrie Kasem is joining me. Carrie was, of course, my co-host for about a year, and also the daughter of Casey Kasem. And she, along with her siblings, made every concerted effort to be able to save her father. We're going to come on back and talk more about it in just a minute. I'm Alan Stock, and this is KXNT. Mm-hmm.
Hello and welcome to American Top 40. I'm Casey Kasem, and this is our weekly countdown of the 40 best-selling songs in the nation. Of the hundreds of singles released every week, these are the 40 most popular songs in America.
March 1977, 2 months after our daughters were born. 3:33 here at KXNT, and a good afternoon. It's great to have you with us on this Thursday afternoon. Joining me on the KXNT Live line, the daughter of the man you just heard, and that is Carrie Kasem. How you doing?
I'm good.
I want to talk, we were talking a little bit about the 48-hour story that ran on Saturday night, and one of the things that his second wife, Jean, kept referring to the fact that you and your siblings, Julie and Michael, wanted money. I remember specifically, I'm not trying to put words in your mouth, okay, but I do remember very specifically, you and I talked about that several times when you were coasting. And I remember you saying, you know, you're doing fine by your. You never once indicated that you wanted a penny of your dad's money.
Yeah, this is what is so shameful about this woman is my dad raised 3 kids that are completely independent, that are hardworking, that have work ethic, that are good, kind people. And the most important thing to my dad was kindness. And every life lesson he taught us was if I buy you something, you're not going to care for it. You're not going to, it's not going to have value to you, but if you buy it for yourself, you'll take care of it. You'll respect yourself. You'll have self-respect. And, you know, we grew up that way. My dad didn't just buy us everything. We worked for it. You know, I didn't get a car when I was 16. How was I going to pay for the gas? How was I going to pay for the payment? That's my dad. You know, we were not given everything. And I'm so happy about that. Because I grew up to be somebody I'm very proud of. I've been in the business, you know, for talk radio 21 years. I'm very proud of my career. I'm very proud of the fact I've bought my own house. My sister has her own house. My brother has his own place in Singapore, you know. We are very self-sufficient. And the only thing my stepmother has ever talked about is money. That is it. Because that's what it's about for her. And everything that we have accused her of doing to my father, criminality 101, she's projecting. She comes back and accuses us. But for the last 5 years, we've never changed our story. We've had the court records and the medical records on our side. But she keeps changing her story.
One of the things that came out I've seen this video many, many times before, by the way. But one of the things that came out was when you finally got to remove your dad from the home in Washington to be able to take him to the hospital. She came out and the cameras were there from the media. You were out there and she threw meat at you and said,
the cameras weren't there from the media though. That's another thing she claims is that I called the media. That was me filming. So she wouldn't attack me.
That was you. And she threw the meat out and she made some statement about in the name of King David or I don't remember the exact words. I mean, it was like really, really something bizarre.
Yeah, I had to protect myself. So what I would do is just film her every time she came at me. So I knew that there was something apt to happen like that. She just goes off the deep end and starts to act like her normal self, insane. And that one time that I caught, she threw frozen meat at my head. And
yeah.
I mean, it wasn't like a hard throw or anything, but she kind of threw it at me and yelling what she claimed to be a biblical verse, which is nowhere in the Bible.
Yeah, you know, and I've got to say, and this is not just because I know you and everything. I mean, I watched this thing, and Rhoda and I watched this thing Saturday night together. And I've got to tell you, from the bottom of my heart, I really believe that she was really acting. I know she's done acting before. I know she was on Cheers and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But you could tell watching her that she was acting a lot. Well, I'm talking about when she was being interviewed by CBS 48 Hours. You could tell she was acting at various times. And when she wouldn't answer questions about what the doctor said about, you know, her responsibility that she was leading to with your dad's death and all. I mean, all that was acting. I've got to ask you something else. My folks are gone and they're buried in they're resting in L.A. And we get the chance to visit the cemetery occasionally. Mm-hmm. And it's nice when you have that opportunity. You don't have that opportunity with your dad.
No, She took that from us, from all of his family, from his friends, and from everyone who loved him. She falsified a death certificate stating that my father and her lived in Israel for 18 years. My dad has never visited Israel. He's never been there. His roots are from Lebanon. He was born in Michigan. His parents are from Lebanon. And if there's anywhere that he would think of being buried, but he never once brought that up to us ever, would have been Lebanon, not Israel. And she falsified the death certificate, spelled his name wrong, didn't know his mother's name or his dad's name. I sent this to the FBI. I'm like, she's falsifying the death certificate to get my dad out of the country. Nothing was done about it. She tried to get him buried in France. They said no. She tried Montreal, Canada, 5 miles away from her boyfriend's home where he grew up. We put that all over the news, and that stopped that. And then she writes a letter stating she's Norwegian and my dad has always wanted to be buried in Norway. I called her family, the Thompson family, and I asked them, are you guys Norwegian? This is the first time in 34 years I've ever heard this. No, we're not Norwegian. I said, I thought so. So I said, would you write a letter to that effect to the Norwegian government, which they did. And so we stopped that burial for about 4 months. And my dad was just sitting there for 4 months while we tried to get him back here. And then he was buried in an unmarked grave in Norway, a place where nobody knew him. They didn't play his show there. There's no family. Gene's family is not over there. There was no address for Gene over there. And the grave to this day, almost, 4.5 years after my father's death is unmarked. So I had a radio show at that point for 5 years, a syndicated rock radio show. And I actually had people who knew me in Norway and Sweden. They heard about this. And there's a woman named Anki who every month goes to my dad's grave and places flowers and candles and takes pictures for us and sends it to us. But it is still untended. Still has no stone there. The only reason she did that was so that we could not visit him. That is it. That is the only, it's out of spite. And I mean, when 48 hours after that, she's like, I have concrete. There's no concrete anything, so it's going to just look very bad for her when we show all the letters, when we bring her family in and they testify against her.
So you know where your dad is buried yourself, though. So in the event that you are victorious and you win in the end, which I believe you will be, you'll be able to eventually have your dad's remains transported back to L.A.
Yes, and he will be back here, buried where he wanted to be, in Forest Lawn, okay, in Los Angeles, where he spent 58 years of his life.
Now, let me ask you something. The trial that is coming up in May, what is that trial about?
It's a wrongful death suit that we put on June, that we tried to serve her, but she ran out of the country and hid for 2 years. So we had to serve her by publication, meaning in different publications all over the country, stating that she's being sued. And, at the last minute, she shows up. So we didn't just win by default. And then she just recently put on a wrongful death suit on us, tried to do it in Washington State, and tried to sue the hospital in Washington State, lost both. They were thrown out. Both cases were thrown out.
Where was she when she left the country?
Guam. We know that she was there for a while.
Okay. Wow. This is incredible. Do you have contact with her daughter,
No, she stopped contact around 11 years of age when we started to become friends and get close. And I mean, we have tons and tons of pictures of all of us together. And then she told her daughter basically she's not allowed to ever speak to us again and started saying horrible things about us. And so that was it. But I'll tell you something. When I realized that Jean's daughter was just like hers is when she started lying to the media about how, we weren't around. We didn't come around. This is a man we saw every week, talked to every day on the phone. We were estranged from him. She just started lying. And I said, this is not blood. This is an enemy. She knows that my dad loves us. She knew that my dad loved all of us. And for her to go and say that publicly, that was it for me.
I'm talking to Carrie Kasem, daughter of Casey Kasem. Yeah, I remember you telling me many, 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 many times I mean, I can't tell you how many mentioned this, that you and your siblings literally tried to go to visit your dad, and you were not allowed in the house. They would close the door on you, and you could not even call him on the home phone. You did reach him on a cell phone, which he had to surreptitiously take your call on without her being in range.
Yeah, she was extremely abusive. This is going to come out in trial as well. She was extremely abusive to my father, and especially if we would call and she found out he was talking to us, and he would shake, and it was horrible. So we got him a cell phone and we knew that it would end up in the toilet or the washing machine, which it did several times. We just have to buy him a new one. So yeah, we couldn't get through on the home line because they'd hang up on us.
Amazing, amazing story. I was privileged to meet your dad the one time that you were introduced as my co-host at the Red Rock Resort. And I am looking for pictures on that, so I promise I'll look for that.
You have to give me pictures and a video. I know my dad introduced me, and somebody's got to have that.
I promise I will look through my stuff the weekend. I will look for it. And also, I had the opportunity many times to meet your mother, who I a very, very, very sweet person, I might add.
Thank you. My family's a good family. What's so sad is Gene and Liberty could have been part of this wonderful, loving family. You know, instead they decided to hate us. And, it's so weird how she says we hated her from the beginning. We were tiny little kids. I so badly wanted her to love us. And the horrible things that she did to us as kids, the abuse that we had to suffer, it was wretched. But what she did to my dad, there's no excuse for. And she deserves to be behind bars.
Listen, I appreciate you taking time to talk with me. I really do. And my heart goes out to you and your siblings. And I wish you the best in this whole legal contest that's going to go on. You will win in the end, because everything that I ever knew, you know, us talking about it, I mean, backs up everything that you've said. Everything's been very consistent right along. And again, watching her project herself on the show on 48 Hours, it was so obvious that she was acting, at least to me, you know, it was so obvious. So I'm so sorry you had to go through this. You didn't deserve it. And
thanks, Alan. I appreciate it.
Really.
I appreciate that.
You just take care of yourself, and the very best to you and your whole family. And we'll stay in touch. I promise I'll look for those pictures.
Okay, please. All right. I'll talk to you later.
Carrie, be well. Take good care.
Bye.
All right. Carrie Kasem joining us here to talk about the 48-hour special on the mysterious death of Casey Kasem, which, if anything, his second wife is mostly responsible for than anyone else. I'm Alan Stock, and this is KXNT.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.